Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show. We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get the show started.
Hey, Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Hi.
Welcome to our show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about what is marketable title. Great show today, Jill. Let's take a question posted by one of our members on successplant.com, our free online community.
Okay. Ariel wrote, "Hi all, finally closed two properties from our first mailing with one more to close. So now the fun part, selling and getting paid. When it comes to selling, we have two types of buyers, as Jill explains, the end user and the other investors. It sounds like selling to other investors is a simpler, much quicker transaction, which I understand as wholesaling the property. Whereas selling to an end user can be a longer transaction with more guiding the buyer through the sale. Is this a retail sale? And when selling retail, is there a difference in pricing? If my understanding of retailing the property is correct, I'd be willing to invest extra energy to maximize my return while the volume of deals is low."
Jill, you are so way more qualified than me to answer this question.
Okay.
I will give my two cents, though, at the end.
Okay. Awesome, Ariel. I mean, talk about well thought out, and you're putting all the little pieces in here to get all the answers. I love it. Okay, so let me chip away at this. So first of all, the selling. Yes, you have two options. You're right. You know, you can wholesale it to another investor, which, like we talk about, how we do all the time, where it's almost now to the point where we just kind of send out a list with, you know, parcel information and a price. And my buyers go, "I want this one, that one, this one, that one." We don't even really talk about it. They know the area and all that good stuff. So yeah, I don't have to do any work. There's nothing involved in that. Bingo. And that is wholesaling. You are right. Now, the other one is, yeah, the end user. And that's where you're making it look different and appealing. You need to make it look great because this person is not an investor. They don't know the area. They don't know that property. They don't really maybe even know what an assessor's parcel number is, the APN. You know, they know there's an address, and if it's a property, they don't understand why it's not an address. I mean, there's lots of little things. So you're going to do more to it in pictures, and yeah, probably it might be a longer process, and you might be a little more hand-holding, and, you know, and as you put in your, you know, GPS coordinates, and they might, so they can go out and look at it, because they might want to drive out and look at it and stand on it because they're the end user. They're buying this from you because they want their cabin there or whatever it is they want to put their tiny house there. So is there, and that is a retail sale. You are correct. So now, can I mark it up and price it differently? Heck yeah. That's
yeah,
what I do.
Way
I
mean, different prices.
Totally. And you're going to even price it differently whether you're going to cash sale it to the end user, the retail, or you're going to sell it on terms or payments. That's a whole nother thing too. You're going to mark it up even more if they're going to just make payments on it. So you're doing great. And all of that is really just personal preference. I mean, how do you want it to go? You know, Jack and I choose to flip them, be wholesalers, flip it, move on. And let the next person do that work, and they'll still make a great profit on it, and everybody wins. So, Jack, what do you want to add?
Yeah, I mean, this is good for you, by the way. You bought a couple properties; it's awesome, and I'm sure they're going to sell them quickly. I take a pretty hard look at all of our members and see who's selling what, and everybody seems to be selling really well. So, here's my point: usually, there's two camps, And Jill and I are super fortunate because we're partners and she's kind of a salesperson and I'm an acquisition person. So we've got it covered. But if you're a one-man show, you either love acquisitions or you love sales in general. That's been my experience. And so if you love acquisitions, you just find a 10 or 15 wholesale buyers and that's done. And you can just wholesale the heck out of property all the time. In fact, that's how we do. That's what we do with houses. We have exactly one flipper customer that we've had for a while. And we mark it up 10 grand and sell it to him. If he doesn't want it, if the property doesn't fit it, we just pass. And then we just move on to the next deal. So whatever you do, make a machine out of it. That's really my advice. Don't do different stuff all the time. You're going to spend a lot of time and energy like, oh, maybe I'll sell this one retail. Maybe this one, you know.
That's
true. I used to do that. And it was, it's, you needed a lot of staff.
Yeah. And then like, oh, this one's perfect over here. And this one's perfect over there. That gets, you don't want to do that too. Like, I'll put this one in Zillow and I'll put this one on eBay and I'll put this one over here. And yeah, don't do that. Just do them all the same way. Like you said, Jack,
great
advice.
If you have a couple of strong buyers that you've done business with before in wholesaling, all you have to do is send them the APN, the assessor's parcel number. You don't have to do the maps. You don't have to do anything. They know what to do. They know how to look it up, whether, you know, and they can do it on their phone. Mm-hmm. That's a huge benefit, in my opinion, Jill. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, you just don't have to sell anybody anything or explain it. And they'll say, I love it. I love it at 10 grand, but not at 18 like you have it. And then we say, thanks.
Exactly.
Next. They know that too.
Right.
or we say, all right, 14 and shut up.
Exactly. I love it.
If you have a question or you want to be on the show, call 800-725-8816. Today's show is, what is marketable title? Comes up. Should come up more often, I guess, but once in a while it comes up, and I'm going to answer it once and for all here. Marketable title. The simplest explanation I can give is it's sellable property. It doesn't have any liens and stuff. And the best, simplest example I can give is your house. If you have a house, it's worth $100,000, and you have a $180,000 mortgage on it. Another word for a mortgage is a lien or an encumbrance. You can't sell it. It's not sellable. So the strict definition of marketable title is property that is lien and encumbrance free. So you can sell it. Oh, is this starting to make sense?
Hmm.
We only buy property that doesn't have a mortgage because the seller actually has the power to sign whatever we put in front of them. They don't have to check with the mortgage company or check with the lot. All people, when there's a loan on a property, there's not just a lender involved. There's lots of people involved. Mortgage insurance people, usually real estate agents and all kinds of stuff. So marketable title for the purposes of this show is a title that you can convey that is lien and encumbrance free. You can sell it. Non-marketable title can mean a lot of things, but it usually means there's a size of a mortgage on it to the point where you have no control over your property. That was the meat of the show. It was short. Jill, like, wasn't it short?
Like,
Jill thinks this show should be like 4 minutes
where
long.
Where do we go from? You know, it's funny. I'm in tasks with our coming up with quotes, you know, as we do our shows so we can use them on our social media. And I'm trying to come up with a quote here. And so far, the only one I got is, let's just meet at 14,000 and shut up.
Let's meet in the middle and shut it.
Okay. Let's go. You know, I think I might do that.
I had a lot of
that.
Stories about negotiating like that. Because I'm, you know what, Jill, of the two of us, Jill's way better negotiator. She has way more patience. She keeps everybody at the table. And I'm like a, you know, spoiled child in a sandbox. I want it to happen, and I want it to happen in 2 minutes or less, or I'm done.
I know.
Look how quiet she is.
I'm writing this down because this is hilarious. I really am going to do that. I'm gonna put that on. Watch, it's going to be on Facebook. We're gonna meet in the middle at 14,000 and shut up.
All right, I'll meet you in the middle at 14 grand, but I need you to. You're gonna smile the whole time,
right?
Or something like that.
You're gonna stop calling me.
I have a lot of stories.
That's a story. I like those stories.
I used to have a list. I got to dig that out somewhere. A list of property that. And how much money I could have made on that property if I had patience and I would have they're in the database.
That's pretty
funny. You
go
to the database and look at property. There's a whole section of property that we could have gotten it, but I just don't have the patience.
Right. That's hilarious. You know what's funny? I'm thinking about, why is this? Is it just our business or is it every business? I'm thinking about our topic today, the marketable title. I'm still on this. It's interesting the topics that you and I talk about and we bring these up because they are hot topics. And I'm like, where are these coming from? You know, it makes me think of the last show that we did, yesterday's show, with JP. The kid wouldn't even think about pausing to check is it called marketable Todd? Do I need to look this up? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's just barreling through to getting stuff done. Yeah. And I appreciate that. So that's not my thing. Sorry if it is. Is it this business that people are kind of looking for hiccups?
Problems?
Yeah.
No.
Is it every business?
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
It is.
So if so I had
a... So I always use dry cleaner as an example for some reason when things come up. So if we were teaching people how to have a dry cleaner, the same stuff would come up.
Mm-hmm.
We would have like 40 to 50% of the people that are involved that are just knocking it out of the park. You know, they're doing what we say. They're locating the thing properly. They're picking up, dropping off, doing the stuff that the extra stuff that makes people incredibly successful. Like it's all in our program,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we talk about it clearly. People email me all the time saying, you know, this is how you do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're exactly right. You have to go the extra mile. You know, Jill's writing stuff down on social media that she's going to quote later today.
Mm-hmm.
So we can continue to generate upbound traffic. And we don't need to do that stuff. We just, if you're going to do something, do it right. And this kid, he keeps coming back into our show. He's just got the right attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think if it was a dry cleaner, I think there'd be a lot of people like, no, I couldn't get the right location. You know, it would just be a different EOR topic.
Mm-hmm.
Different roadblock instead of a speed bump. This is the technical too. 2 minutes of property investment advice from our 15-year, 15,000-plus transaction experience. Check to see if your property has marketable title.
Oh, gosh, I didn't know that was coming.
How the heck do I do that?
Yeah, you're so good. You just out of the thin air.
How do I check to see if my property's got marketable title? What the heck do you mean, Jack? You know, you send a deed to the person. How do you check for liens and encumbrances? There's all kinds of ways. If you go through a title insurance company, they're going to check for you. What are they going to do, though? Well, they're going to see if there's a mortgage on it. And there's a ton of websites all over the place. You can check that stuff. You can also, you know, in our product that our members have, there's a lot of different ways to see if there's debt on property and liens and all that. With houses, you have to check all the time. The way that we have it set up, the person that buys it from us does all that work. That's another reason that we wholesale houses instead of retailing them. But for land, the dated-to-doorstep product that we have helps you do that. Mm-hmm. It's actually the same product that title agents use to do the same thing for you, right at your in your computer at your house. It's pretty amazing, actually, when you think of it.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Check to see if there's marketable title. With this product type, rural vacant land, 99. I don't even check anymore. 99.9% of it, probably more than that,
mm-hmm.
is marketable. And here's why: because you generally cannot. Lenders will not generally lend against unimproved property, and so that, you know, that, and we only send mail out to properties with no loan amount, you know.
Exactly.
A lot of details, but
that's true. You're right. We've filtered out some things ahead of time, so we know we're already
members do too.
Taking care of
that's
all
what
that.
We teach.
That's a good point.
You can save yourself a ton of problems by getting the right stuff in the mail in the first place. People who use these tax sale lists, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they have all kinds of problems and they wonder why.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That brings up a whole other thing.
You're kicking the dog while it's sleeping.
Well, the back tax property, I mean, there's so many things that could go wrong with that. And it could just be such a waste of time if that's all that you're doing. You're just setting yourself up for problems.
Right.
I agree.
We have a lot of members who were taught by competitors in other places to just send property owners of back tax property offers.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't be further from what I think is the truth. And then they come over and they do it our way. And they're like, well, there's no problems with these properties, but they still want to sell it. Ding, ding.
Hello. What's so funny? That's exactly right. They're like, oh my gosh. Like, yeah, duh.
We have a sales bell in the other, in our
it's so
Arizona
funny.
Office. We're in California right now. We need
right.
a bell.
That's true.
Hey, if you have a question or you want to be on the show, call 800-725-8816. Jill is sure to inspire us today.
I gave this piece of advice to one of our employees the other day. It is, if you want to get ahead, show up. And I don't mean
I love that.
Physically show up.
I know what you mean. I love this.
I mean mentally show up. Now, slash however, there should be some physical showing up there too. And this is stuff that I learned. I mean, I learned when I was young what a difference it made and how it impacted my, where I worked and my team and my bosses. Just simple things like showing up a few minutes early and staying a few minutes late, you know, and it makes a difference. And having the bigger thing is having the right attitude. And I'll tell you another one. There was a job I got, I don't know how many years ago.
Simple, awesome advice, Joe.
Yeah, thank you. There was a job I wanted years ago, and it was in Phoenix, and I was young, I had to pull some strings to get this job. It was not a job that you had to know somebody to get in kind of thing. And I was so darn excited and I got the job. Everything was great. You know what I did the very first day? I showed up with bagels and donuts. Yep. I didn't know anybody. This was for my team, anybody in my office. And it was so sweet because people I'd never met before, they're like, oh, we knew that was good. You know, like they're like, oh, this is, you know, they're all happy and everything to have me too. But I, on my own dime, on my very first day, showed up with goodies for everybody because I was so happy and excited to be there.
That's awesome.
Boy, did that make a difference. I mean, and that's the thing. I paid a little bit forward. So then here's the result. I'm learning. I'm new. I could go to anyone in that office and ask for help. And they were way more than happy to help me and bend over backwards because I did that first. I took that first step and I showed up. I mean, I was there and excited and serious about it. So, you know, and even if it's a job that you don't love, you're not sure about, you know, that's not going to be your end all career. So what? Do your best while you're there. Show up. It doesn't do you any good. You know,
I love the advice. It's simple. And, you know, it's actually the showing up is the name of one of the books that I'm trying to get done.
Mm-hmm. How's that coming?
Great. Yeah, that's, you know.
Is it a summer project like mine?
No, it just keeps getting pushed back.
I know.
You know what gets pushed up in front all the time is these new products we're launching that our current customers are asking us for, like Deed Perfect.
It's so much fun.
Like our members don't want to do deeds, and I don't blame them. So we spent a ton of money and time putting a website together that automates it for them. Just another benefit of being a member here at Land Academy. On this topic, I had a college professor. It was a business class. I don't remember the class. But at the end, he said, look, you're going to go out into the world, and I'm going to give you some real advice. You know, it's one of the few times that formal education is useful. And he said, everybody that you work with for your whole job that you're going to have, life of the job, will remember what you did the first day. And not just the first day, but the first week. So plan your life around getting there an hour early.
Mm-hmm.
The first week only. It doesn't matter what you do the rest of your career there. You will always be known as the person that, which is exactly what you said, Jill, that showed up early, gave it your all, and then left late. You don't have to be the last guy.
Mm-hmm.
I've had jobs where it's like a big contest, like a man chest beating thing, who can stay the latest.
Right.
And nothing's getting done.
Exactly. Exactly.
Or maybe they don't want to go home.
Watching the clock.
Their kids are
home. Oh, maybe that's it. There's a reason they don't want to go home. That's what it is.
Yeah, watch the clock.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I remember when we went to work and there were no computers. Isn't that sad how old I am? My first job out of college, there were no computers in real estate at all. Mm. Like the management part of what we were doing. The managers had computers and because they needed them to like process payment and stuff. But
that's
funny. A broker, we didn't.
Did you have a Rolodex? Like a round Rolodex?
I had like a Franklin planner.
Oh, Franklin Covey. They still make those.
Do they?
Yeah.
I heard they went out of business.
Oh, well, shoot.
That's what I heard like 3 years ago.
Okay. I haven't looked in a while.
If you know what a Franklin planner is, that's you're sad like us. Sad people.
I saw my dad with one. That's how I know.
It was a pretty good system.
I just
kept you organized.
You know, it's kind of cool. My dad did do that. He kept those organizers and he by year and he saved them. I'm not kidding.
Wow. So you could go back and like look at what he did that year?
Oh, yeah. It was a little not cool about all the stuff that he did save.
Oh, was your dad a pack rat?
Well, let's just say he saved a lot of stuff. It wasn't really a pack rat. There were a lot of files. One of my jobs one time was filing for him. Seriously. Oh, I got paid to file. And some things I was filing, it was like, oh, I don't even, it was like, it's silly, but anyway.
That opens up a whole thing.
Where are we going with that? Yeah. Sorry.
Hey, join us in another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information, that's me.
And inspiration, that's me.
To get just about anything you want.
We use it every day to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
You're not alone in your real estate ambition. We kind of said it all.
Mm-hmm.
Wish I would have got to know your dad, Joe.
Thank you.
My timing was off there.
You're not alone in your real estate world. Real estate hiccup.
You are alone if you use a Franklin planner still.
Yeah.
and that's it. Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cash Flow from Land Show. We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening.
Let's go buy some property.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
LandAcademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.